the very similar kind of day, even the chill in the air. It was almost 2 years ago. It was a chill in the air, a little fog, a little rain, and the sun came out. It was also daylight savings time. It was the first Sunday of daylight savings time, which definitely impacted the day. The church was locked tighter than a drum when I got here 2 years ago. And it was my first time to be here, so I was a little anxious. Am I at the right place? Is this the right day? Did I have a time warp? But things did work themselves out. Someone hurried in and opened up, and all was well. And so today, we're almost going to have daylight savings time again. It's a few weeks away. And one of the things about daylight savings time that reminds me is how much we resist change. And daylight savings time is one of those things that we don't have much of a choice about unless we live way off somewhere where there are no clocks. And so many of us resist that. We resist it in various ways. And it's interesting to me. I am very interested in change and how we react to change. And your center is in the midst of a big change. You are moving from one senior minister to another, and next week is a glorious celebration of that transformation, as you put it, moving that. And you're going to have Hal Ratliff, which is, he's a wonderful addition to your musical team. I'm familiar with his work. Very, very much appreciate his skill. You are going to have a wonderful Sunday next Sunday. So I celebrate. Let's just celebrate this. It really is. It's a wonderful thing for your center. And I absolutely support everything as you're moving forward. But I also recognize that changes like this are really challenging at times. When I first arrived at my center, and it's been a couple of decades ago, they were in the midst of changing. I didn't know that, but I was in leadership, but only barely, and the senior minister changed. And ladies and gentlemen, there was resistance. There was resistance all around for reasons that I can't quite understand, because I hadn't been there long enough to be attached to the way it used to be. And yet there are many who were attached to the way it used to be and would bring that up as the reason why they had the feelings they had. So I merely witnessed that. But then a few years ago, it's been close to five, we changed our services. We one of these centers that has a service at 9 and a service at 11 that's exactly the same. The music is the same. The senior minister speaks. It was the same. But then the population of that 9 o'clock service was changing. I could say making a transition of various sorts, and it was dwindling. So the decision was made not to do away with the 9 o'clock service, but to change it into something else. And it was changed into a healing meditation service. And while there were some people who didn't like it, who wanted things to be the way they always have been, there were others who embraced it. There were at least two or three people that I know for sure who came back to services because that healing meditation, that time of quiet, it's reading, it's chants, it's times of silence. There's a musical interlude, and there is a deep guided meditation. It's a different kind of service. And so there's some who came back, there's some who rejected the change, and that is the way we are. So change is really what I have been thinking about now for a while. And it was the reaction to that service a few years ago that really crystallized in my mind the notion of why we react to change or what change does to us. And so I set about talking about that and thinking about that and questioning about that and reading about that. And in addition to that, I am Dean of the School of Spiritual Leadership for Los Angeles, and I'm training ministers or involved in that training, and change is what that's about. Because the idea is you are rising and developing a ministerial consciousness, and it involves change. And being able to manage that is huge. So I'm very, very interested in how we react to change. So I had this idea that I would ask you if there is something going on in your life It could be very personal. It could be something that affects your immediate circle of acquaintances, family, friends. It could be something that's a community-wide. It could be something even bigger. Is there something that maybe characterizes a change that you feel yourself reacting to in some way, in a way that doesn't make you feel good? And this could be something you've not identified to anyone. It's just something that you are recognizing within yourself. So I'm asking you, maybe the first one thing that you think of, to think of that thing. You don't have to share with anyone. This isn't raise your hand. This is self-examination. And so when you think about that, is there a feeling that's associated with that? A feeling. Not necessarily an explanation, and there may be, but is there a feeling that you can identify, that you can be aware of? This is the process, this understanding of how we respond to things and how we react to things begins with the recognition of that feeling. So I want you to bear with me here for just a moment, because we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive. Are you ready? Okay. When we perceive things, we have a perception about something. It could be something we hear. It could be something we see. We see that, and then we put thoughts to that as a way of explaining what we see. And sometimes it's a series of thoughts, a pattern of thoughts that explain what we see, what we've heard. And we go into that. And sometimes there is an emotion that we attach to those thoughts. And we wrap that emotion around the thoughts. So we have a perception that we have thoughts about that is wrapped in an emotion. So when we do that, and we feel like we want to tell about that thing that we saw, what we tell is our thought perceptions. And so we explain it that way. We explain it to ourselves and we explain it to others. Because the feeling is really hard to explain. Because the feeling is what actually comes first. And so we have a thought that we attach to that feeling. So as we do this, we come up with this process and this feeling. Here's an example. Let's say I'm standing back there at the door of your entryway. I'm just standing. Someone walks through. I watch her. She turns and glances at me. And I think, that was a mean look. What was that about? Why was she looking at me that way? I think she hates me. And then I tell a story to go with that. She has it in for me. She doesn't like me. She wishes things were different. And so maybe I share that with someone else. And I tell the story. And as I tell the story, I may add details to it. She didn't glance at me. She glared at me. And I build on that story. And I may tell it a lot of times, and I may let that story morph into something even more serious than when I first told it, because that's what we often do. So when I take that story like that, I simply create a truth, a reality about that, that began with a perception. So when we do that, we take those ideas and we wrap them up. Another name for that, that thought process wrapped with an emotion, another name for that is belief. Belief. And our beliefs are stored deep in our subconscious. And the stronger that emotion is that we wrap around that belief, the more deep-seated that belief becomes. And so they become our truth, and it becomes real. So we will immediately go to a feeling without necessarily going through the whole process, because we have thoughts about that that are associated with me and the feeling and what happens. Now, what we can do. I invited you to look at a feeling. You don't necessarily have to recognize where that feeling came from. You may recognize what stimulated it recently. And when you recognize, separate the explanation, just recognize the feeling. It might be a feeling of disappointment. It might be a feeling of anger, of hurt. It might be a feeling associated with just an uneasiness, an anxiety, So if you can just find the place, the time to sit with that feeling, you may find that as you're sitting with it, it's not easy to get to what the feeling is. The change that happened stimulated the feeling, and maybe you get lost in your thought. You know, our thoughts are just like Roadrunner sometimes. They dart from place to place to place. And we can end up moments later at some spot and wonder, wait, how did I even get here mentally? Because we've darted around so much. Because getting at that feeling is not that easy. Now, one of my favorite light bulb jokes is, now if you know this one, don't spoil my punchline. How many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb? It takes one. But the light bulb has to want to change. Well, the awareness of that feeling that I'm inviting you to explore, that is the beginning of how you begin to change a feeling that you don't like. I don't like feeling this way. Maybe going back to the story I said, I don't like feeling hurt because someone looked at me. It doesn't change what happens. Nothing changes whatever has happened, but I don't like feeling the way I feel. And if I can get to that point, if I can isolate the feeling from what has happened, my goodness, that is a huge step. Now, wanting to change is really a challenge at times. And there is a cliche about that says people don't like to change. Nobody wants to change. And see, and I don't believe that. There's probably not a person in this room that hasn't done for themselves or asked for a spiritual mind treatment. And when we do that, aren't we saying, I want something more in my life, which is a change? I want something to be different in my life, which is a change. We're not only welcoming the change, we're asking for it. We're saying and commanding the law, change this in my life, which we can do. So I don't want to say people don't like to change. That isn't true. I think we can resist change sometimes that feels like it's being thrust upon us. I do feel that we have that reaction. Why? I can't say. But I know that not wanting to change is not the reason. I don't think human nature is designed that way, because we all know everything is changing all the time. You're changing. I'm changing. You come up with these startling facts that in another 6 weeks, I'm going to have a new liver. You're going to have a new liver. And all of the different parts in our bodies are renewing constantly. Always. Change is happening, even whether we're perceiving of it or not. And so what I'm inviting is that we embrace the change that is happening for our good. And so how do we do that? We identify that change. We identify that emotion that we would like to be different in our lives. Maybe it's just one. Maybe that's where it begins. And the transformation begins, because all of us, if we could say and choose, would say, I want to be happier than I am. I want everything to be better. I want to be more at peace. Whatever that looks like for you. And there is a way to do that. And of course, we have this magnificent tool, spiritual mind treatment. And we are charged with commanding the law. I noticed in your song that you were singing, the Rise Up song that you were singing, That is inspired by Emma Curtis Hopkins. That is a magnificent portion of what she puts in her books. It is a magnificent calling because it's saying that let spirit flow, show me the kingdom wherever I go. Show me the kingdom wherever I go. And in the reading that Anne did, she's talking about the fact that we can't, is it Anne? Did I get it right? Yes. And that reading that you did, which you can go back and look at in the Science of Mind magazine, read the words of Ernest Holmes. We can be in harmony with everyone that we meet. So in the example that I'm giving, instead of seeing someone who hates me, I can know that I feel in harmony with everyone I meet. And when that is my higher thought, when that is the thought that I go with, then that is the one that I stay with. We call on spirit to be that part of us, to be that guidance within us that allows us to get to that place. So change. I know that there are changes, and sometimes they startle us. And we don't always understand why we don't like it. I don't always understand myself. I think that we're all in this together, especially when it's a surprise. But to recognize you don't like the way you feel, is that easy? It can be possible at the very least. Simple and easy are not the same thing sometimes. We say, change your thinking, change your life. But that changing of your thinking, that's what we're talking about. And many of you may have decided, I'm going to change my thinking around that. Maybe you were successful. And maybe you forgot about what you intended to do. Because our minds can travel from thing to thing. So how do we get to the point that we simply focus on how we feel about it? Because the truth of the matter is, the feeling comes first. The feeling is what you identify with. How you explain how you felt. As I said before, how you explain it is something that you attach to that. Because I don't like the way I'm feeling, so I have to have an explanation for it. And it can't be my fault, so I have to put that out there. And so we build that story. Now, it's more to me than just changing the story, although that is part of what changes. But it is also getting to the heart of understanding why that fact that I'm feeling what I don't want to feel and knowing that I can change what I don't like. Yes? I can change what I don't like to feel. I don't try to change someone else. So the person may really have it in for me at work. Someone may really be doing whatever I perceive. But what doesn't have to stay the same is how I feel about it. It cannot disturb me if I don't allow it to disturb me. I have the capacity to think how I want to think and to have the feeling that I want to feel. Now, please don't mistake this as someone, me or anyone else, saying to you, you shouldn't feel some way. That isn't true. It isn't true that someone should say that to you. We have the capacity within us to make our own choices. And I know that you have a choice to feel. I hope I never say you shouldn't feel that way. I hope those words never slip my, even if I feel the feeling is destructive. What I can say is that you have a choice to be where you are. So going back to the story that I was telling, that story is actually true. I wasn't the person, I was the practitioner who was listening to that story. And so I can also say that she had told me that story in different variations more than once with different people. The one walking across the floor was the one that I heard that morning. And so what I said to her was, how do you know that's what she was thinking? Well, if you could look on her face, she just looked that way. And I said, how do you know that she even saw you? Haven't you ever glanced a certain way and not seen something or people that were right there because you're lost in thought? And she paused. And I said, you have no way of knowing that she wasn't thinking, I wonder where my daughter is. I wonder if she's okay. She was upset this morning. I wonder how she's doing. There may have been a frown. There may have been a concern. How do you know that? At that moment, after all of the same stories, this particular person at least realized in that moment that the feeling she was feeling was not associated with that. And that broke that communication. And that's what we do, ladies and gentlemen. We find a way to break that pattern from I feel something to I think something about it. I feel it and I want to know how I feel about it. And we can all do that. So I am going to invite you to affirm with me the following. The divine power within me moves through me in peace and in harmony.
Moves through me in peace and in harmony.
I can use that power.
I can use that power.
To guide my thoughts.
To guide my thoughts.
To guide my words.
To guide my words.
To guide my actions.
To guide my actions.
I am grateful to know that this is the truth.
I am grateful to know that this is the truth.
I embrace the truth.
As I release
and know with me, and so it is. Thank you all very, very much.